I think his lifetime earnings with Burisma was like $5 million, Hunter Biden's was. No foul play was ever proven there for anything. And the guy that initially informed on him to the FBI admitted to the FBI, he made all of it up. That guy's, you know, convicted now of lying. And then Trump, meanwhile, is doing billions of dollars of business all over the world, is openly on camera, talking to the leader of Indonesia, saying that he can arrange a meeting between him and Eric. It was just like, it's a joke. They don't care about any of it. I almost think Trump could order the assassination of a journalist. And I feel like 40% of MAGA would almost be on board with it. In my personal opinion, the headline breaking story of all the Epstein stuff that got basically no viewership was when Trump was standing outside of, you know, some helicopter and they asked him about.
Welcome back. It is Pushing the Limits on a Tuesday. I'm very fortunate that I have a Rolodex of some wonderful people. Ron Filipkowski, obviously being one of them. He joins us every week. Got Ryan Shedd, one of the best left-leaning podcasters around, is going to be joining us in studio tomorrow. And, you know, I joined the Un-F America tour with Z and the gang. I just think it's awesome. I'm very new to this. We're going to be out there in Phoenix next month. And there's just a lot of wonderful people within the Un-F America tour. We just had an event here in Vegas a few weeks back and gave me the opportunity to meet Destiny, who is obviously one of the largest streamers on the planet, and he's one of the very few people in the political world that I tend to agree with like 99.9% of the time. And he's a busy man, and he's nice enough to be joining us right now on a Tuesday afternoon. Destiny, it's good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing okay, Destiny. Thanks again for joining us. I really appreciate it. There's so much to get to with you in a short period of time. I have to start by asking you about this Epstein vote. Seems like there were a lot of Republican cowards out there that did not want to vote yes until they felt like they probably had to now. What do you make of this vote? And did you see this coming? I think, you know, only one person voted no on this. What's your take on this?
I mean, it's inevitable at this point, right? If you know it's going to pass, you probably don't want to be the person voting against it. I don't like following Epstein stuff that much. I've read that the FBI is trying to redact a bunch of stuff. I don't know if those are the same documents that Congress has access to or not. So I don't know if like redacted documents will get released or not. But I think after the shutdown, I think after the rising prices, just it's like hit after hit after hit for the Trump admin. This Epstein thing is just another thing that's piling on top. And then when you're seeing the base start to fracture, when you're seeing Marjorie Taylor Greene start to stake out a position that is not squarely inside Trump territory anymore. Yeah, I just think this is just another domino falling where, you know, if the vote goes one way, you don't want to be the wrong side of that just in case the political winds, you know, really take off in the other direction. It's my guess.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but I mean, do you believe Donald Trump was with underage girls, not just someone who was friends with Epstein and maybe was on Epstein Island? I know this is speculation, but do you feel eventually there will be women that will come forward and bring his name out? I know there's a lot of these women that are probably afraid of lawsuits. I just talked to Ron Filipkowski about that. But do you think eventually there will be some evidence or a witness that will come forward and say, yes, Donald Trump did do this to me?
My feeling is that I'm such a boring anti-conspiracy guy. I feel like if he would have done it, I feel like it would have come out by now. That just seems like such an impossible thing to hide. And I think it also strains credulity to believe that Epstein had all this information and none of it ever came out and he was imprisoned, right? People always talk about like this, the black book, the client list, the black mat. Like, well, if you, the whole point of having that is so that it doesn't, so that nothing bad happens to you, right? So how was he arrested so easily, imprisoned, and then I guess assassinated, if you believe that? Yeah. Like, what was the point of having the blackmail list? And it's like, well, people say, well, it doesn't always work 100% of the time. It's like, okay, well, why isn't it released now, right? Clearly, you would have to have some kind of something. Otherwise, what's the point? So, yeah, I feel like if he would have done it, I feel like it would have come out by now. My take is that I feel like there's probably a lot of just really unfortunate lineups of Trump was probably a lot closer to Epstein than he likes to admit publicly. It wouldn't surprise me if Trump knew that Epstein liked to fuck young girls. I'm sorry, have sex with. My bad.
You're good.
Okay.
We have a 5-second delay. You're good.
Okay, Jesus. My bad. I'm sorry. That he knew that like Epstein was doing stuff that he shouldn't have been. You know, if we were in any other media environment, in my personal opinion, the headline breaking story of all the Epstein stuff that got basically no viewership was when Trump was standing outside of, you know, some helicopter and they asked him about, you know, did you know Epstein was taking girls from Mar-a-Lago? And I think he opens with like, well, I'm not going to say a name. And then he's like, yeah, we knew he took this girl who I think was the one who ended up committing suicide, right? And he's like, yeah. And after second one, we blocked him from taking any more. And it's like, how do you just admit this? This is some stuff that you plead the fifth on. Why are you saying this in front of the media?
Do you think that could be sex trafficking? I mean, I know your take as well. He probably didn't, you know, he probably wasn't, most likely wasn't with an underage girl. But do you believe that? Because I'm trying to figure this out. He is so adamantly, obviously, against these files coming out. He's done everything and anything, and so is the administration, lying to try to protect him. Because we know he's all over the files. But you don't think necessarily there was anything criminal, and it just makes him look bad? Is that, I'm trying to get, is that kind of your take on this whole thing?
I mean, I feel like there was something criminal. I feel like somebody would have pursued it. That would be my take, yeah. When it comes to trafficking, it's probably so many layers removed, because you would have to prove intent at different stages that somebody knowingly was transferring somebody to knowingly be a sex underage, you know, slave or whatever. Like, yeah, it would probably be really, really hard to prove all that, yeah.
Yeah. Before I get to this meeting earlier today with the Saudi prince, which was just unbelievably unfortunate and just despicable, I do want to ask you about him calling a reporter again Miss Piggy yesterday. It's like, I have a bone to pick with Tim Pool and others who don't seem like this is a big deal when the president attacks women, attacks journalists, really attacks anybody he disagrees with, and calling a reporter Miss Piggy, and the right-wing media don't seem to have a problem with that. I say this all the time, Destiny. Imagine if Joe Biden or Barack Obama talked to a reporter from Fox News they didn't like, you know, like that. They'd be leading with it for weeks. And it just seems like the right, they just ignore it. He called a reporter Miss Piggy yesterday for asking what I thought was a very legitimate question.
Yeah, today I watched him go off on an ABC reporter saying ABC needs to have its license pulled because she asked a question.
Mr. President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
You know, it's not the question that I mind. It's your attitude. People are wise to your hoax, and ABC is company, your crappy company, is one of the perpetrators. And I'll tell you something. I think the license should be taken away from ABC. And we have a great commissioner, the chairman, who should look at that, because I think when you come in and when
you did you hear that? Did anybody hear that? You didn't hear, because there's nothing. That was the sound of silence as every single hack cuck fuck who tried to make this weird wishy-washy argument of, well, Trump didn't actually say the FCC should go after Kimmel. That wasn't actually Trump order. Trump didn't actually get it. He didn't actually. And then when Trump says, it's like, nothing. They have nothing to say. And I'm curious, where are all of those defenders before who were saying, well, Trump didn't actually go to the FCC chairman and tell him to pull the affiliates from, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's show and all. He didn't actually say it. He didn't actually do it. And here Trump just does it openly on, you know, TV.
Yep.
There is no... It's a joke. Like, there's no consistency here. This is just a team sports game for MAGA, like, more so than any other group I think I've ever seen in my lifetime. You know, like, in retrospect, how funny is it that I think his lifetime earnings with Burisma was like $5 million, Hunter Biden's was. No foul play was ever proven there for anything. And the guy that initially informed on him to the FBI admitted to the FBI he made all of it up. That guy's, you know, convicted now of lying. And then Trump, meanwhile, is doing billions of dollars of business all over the world, is openly on camera talking to, what was it, the leader of Indonesia, saying that he can arrange a meeting between him and Eric. It's just like, it's a joke. They don't care about any of it. The frustrating part is going to be in like 3 years when they all pretend that they were always against it. And then they spoke out against Trump, too, and none of them did. Yeah.
Yeah. None of them. No backbone at all. Let's talk a little bit about this meeting this morning where, you know, you mentioned the ABC reporter who I thought did a great job and asked very prevalent questions about Epstein and about the Khashoggi murder, because we know who this Saudi prince is and we know who they stand with and that murder, which was horrible. And yet Donald Trump is again coddling another evil man, just like he does with Vladimir Putin or Kim Jong-un when asked about the Otto Warmbier stuff. What did you make of this horrible, and I thought it was another embarrassing meeting with a horrible person? This comes a week after, as you know, he invited a former Al-Qaeda leader in the White House. I mean, what do you make of this? This is not America first.
I mean, what do I make of the United States president, the country that's supposed to be the shining beacon on the hill of democracy, an example to the rest of the free world, when our leader basically signs off on the assassination of a journalist because people knew he was a bad guy? That the biggest challenge, in my opinion, in doing politics from the center left right now is to not say things that will get me arrested when I listen to Trump speak. So I just I don't have words. That's just an unbelievable statement. Yeah. One of the things that I've said before, I don't know if I've told you this, that you have to think of, like, don't ask the Trumples, don't ask them, like, you know, would it, you don't ask them, like, do you think Trump will do this or do you think Trump will do this in the future? You ask them, would they defend it? And I think they would. I almost think Trump could order the assassination of a journalist, and I feel like 40% of MAGA would almost be on board with it. It's unacceptable in so many different levels, but I feel like I've said this for years. I don't even know. Yeah.
you know, you made national news and you took a lot of flack on Piers Morgan because you're asked about, obviously, the murder of Charlie Kirk. And I totally understand where you're coming from. And you said, why should I have to call out? I'm kind of paraphrasing what you said. Correct me if I'm wrong. But why should we have to apologize for, you know, an attack on Charlie Kirk? And when Donald Trump doesn't call out any of the political violence on the right, and you took so much slack for that, I totally understand where you're coming from. Obviously, I know you. I know you don't want political violence on either side of the aisle. I know that about you.
Sure. Well, to be your question. Go ahead. My bad.
No, go ahead.
It's not that you personally know that. I've said that publicly too. I think I actually even said it twice on that Piers Morgan show. I go out and I do these events. I don't want to get killed, right? I don't think political. It's not good that we're killing each other in the United States, and we have been quite a bit over the past half decade. We've been engaged in political violence, like killing political leaders from politically motivated individuals. It's not good. It's crazy. It's insane. But it's more insane to me that it's impossible on the right for them to just tell their president to say, hey, all of us should calm down. That's insane to me. And to be paraded around as a liberal when every single lawmaker, every single left-leaning liberal talking head is all saying violence is bad. We all need to bring down the violence. We need to stop. To be like, do you disavow violence? And meanwhile, Donald Trump is basically cheering it on. It's unacceptable. Yeah. It's an inhuman behavior, in my opinion.
But your point is well taken, because you never hear the right. How many of them apologized about what took place on January 6th? I mean, some of them were calling it a tourist visit, the Marjorie Taylor Greens and others of the world. Donald Trump pardoned some of those people who beat police officers with their own batons, called them hostages and patriots. We didn't hear a lot of apologies from the right. They don't want to call it an insurrection. If the left did that, the left would still be apologizing about it today. Why? I mean, there's so many double standards, and I totally understand where you're coming from, but yet people seem to be bashing you. I'm not celebrating the life of Charlie Kirk. That doesn't mean I'm celebrating the murder. And people can't seem to, they seem to conflate the two, right, Destiny?
They seem to, they're not. It's just political games. Because if it happened, you know, in the other way, they would immediately have, you know, a different explanation for it. And the MAGA movement, I've said this before, I kind of joked in the past that the conspiracy theories of older movements like made sense. Like Israel doing 9/11 makes sense from a conspiracy standpoint, right? Okay, Israel wants to make us go to war in the Middle East and the Jews are going to blah, blah, blah. Sure, it makes sense.
Right.
But when you look at the conspiracy theories that exist today, they're just nonsense, right? So now we're up to, I don't know what number we were at the last time we spoke, but now we're up to 30 million illegal immigrants came in illegally when Biden was president. So 30 million over 4 years. I think the actual number is like 2.7 or something. But 30 million came in over 4 years. Apparently, they all rode on cows, which brought diseases with them, which is why our domestic agriculture has been hurt, according to Bessent. But not only did these 30 million illegals come over here, and not only did our unemployment rate remain at like 4.5%, all of them also somehow had the money to buy homes, and they forced everybody to their homes too. So, and they're also getting loans for homes. All of it is so contradictory and self-defeating, and it's just so stupid. And it's not serious. It's very unserious. It's a very unserious conversation.
Speaking of stupid, Destiny, I don't understand the obsession with those on the right when it comes to trans people. You see the right wing Twitter all the time. You see these people on the right, Benny and all these other morons that are now obsessing that Crooks, the guy who attempted to kill Donald Trump. Oh, well, he identified a different term. He wasn't he identified as a she or whatever the hell they're obsessing over about. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you obsessed over trans? They do the same thing with the Charlie Kirk murder. Oh, well, Tyler Robinson had a boyfriend or a girlfriend that was trans. And I say to myself, we've had 1,100 mass shootings in the last couple of years. You know this. And a sliver of that, maybe 7 or 8 of them, were done by trans people. Why is the right so obsessed over trans people? And after there's a mass shooting, they seem to obsess over it. Like, I just don't understand it. Yesterday, that's what Republicans were talking about. They weren't talking about Epstein. They certainly weren't talking about healthcare and food stamps being taken away from millions. They were obsessing over this guy Crooks, who, by the way, is dead, that he might have identified with different pronouns. Like, Destiny, I don't understand their obsession.
Yeah, and I want to be very careful here because I haven't read the reporting on that, mainly because I saw Jack Posobiec promoting it, who is an insane person to me, so I almost believe it the opposite.
Yes.
I don't know if you've read this or not, but my understanding, I say understanding because I read three tweets on this. Somebody said that the reason why they thought he was trans is because he had a DeviantArt profile and the pronouns were they, them. But I heard people saying that, like, when you create a profile, if you don't change your pronouns, they just default to they, them. It doesn't mean you're actually trans or whatever. Did you read anything about this? Do you know
this? I read that as well. It's total nonsense by Jack Posobiec. By the way, the same guy who started the Pizzagate scandal, that's how he became famous, who put lives in jeopardy. Yeah, I agree with you.
Isn't he the author of the book, what is it called, like Subhumans or Inhumans or whatever, about how liberals are all like secret communists or whatever? Jesus Christ,
He's a complete fraud. Yeah. And but here's the thing, Destiny. Fox News is leading with this stuff. Jesse Waters is talking about it yesterday as if it's a real story. And let's just say, hypothetically speaking, Destiny, this was true. What the hell does it matter? What does it matter if he was trans or not? I don't understand the what are they saying? Everybody that's trans is mentally ill, right? That's what a lot of these people on the right say, which I think, by the way, is absurd. But, like, what are they trying to do by – are they just enjoy attacking transgenders? Like, I don't understand why this is even prevalent to the Charlie Kirk stuff. Yeah, Charlie Kirk did not like transgenders. He was anti-trans. Okay, great.
Well, and I think it's like, because Democrats somehow got bamboozled into staking out an unpopular position on it, especially related to the trans athlete stuff. And since conservatives identify that as like one cultural issue that they could push on and win, they just decided to basically stake out their entire campaign on trans issues. Like, literally, that's everything. Like, that's like Trump could be standing in D.C., you know, giving a speech comforting the nation as nuclear missiles are heading towards us, knowing that we're all about to die, saying, like, well, at least we got rid of transgender for everyone. And then the bombs explode and we all, you know, die. And it's like, that's like the one issue that conservatives love to obsessively harp on over and over again. And then the goal, obviously, is if somebody's trans, they must be left wing. So if they can paint them all as trans, then they can also paint them all as left wingers. But there are really great clips. I don't know if I've ever showed you or sent you, probably not personally, these before, but like Megyn Kelly talking on a show, The Fifth Column, I think. When I say things, Republicans understand everything that I say because they do it. They understand that you can never apologize. You can never show weakness. You can never disavow your side. You always have to do everything you can to avoid responsibility, to push shooters on the other side. And that's how they act all the time. And then if anybody on the left even seems to do that or calls out that game, then they jump that person. But they know that it's a good strategy because they do it effectively. Because let's say every shooter was trans. So how easy would it still be to say, like, yeah, even if they were trans, you know, nobody should do political violence. That should be a really easy thing to say, even if none of the shooters are yours.
I completely agree with you. You know, I always wanted to ask you this because I think you're, for the most part, you're one of the top five or top 10 most popular people covering politics on social media. And I don't believe you've ever said anything to get clicks or to make money. I genuinely believe everything you say, you mean. But what do you make of so many on the right that even Marjorie Taylor Greene has accused of getting paid by the Trump administration to spew propaganda? We know that whole Russian thing that involved Tim Pool and Benny Johnson and others. I feel like a lot of these people don't actually mean what they say, Destiny. I don't think Jack Posobiec means what he says. I don't think Benny Johnson always believes the things that he say. Do you get that sense with these people that a lot of them, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them say things just to get clicks and make money?
There's some fancy abbreviation that, I don't know if it's the NSA or CIA or somebody has, when they analyze like the Russian propaganda model, you can identify, there are different vectors that you can work through to get people to do propaganda for you. Some are financially motivated, some are ideologically motivated, others can be motivated by other things. I think that when you look at, if you want to have like a real view of politics, you need to be able to look at people and understand why are they saying the things that they're saying, like what is the purpose, what are they trying to get? So like when I look at Marjorie Taylor Greene right now, I something I've said for a while is that as so Trump is a cult leader. Trump is a narcissist, and that's it. So there are no political people that he's appointed to reign in his stead. So Trump is not trying to make a king. He's not trying to help the party. He doesn't care about anybody himself. So once Trump is gone, the Republican Party is going to be scrambling for who the new leader is and to fill that vacuum. And I feel like people, I don't know when they're going to start jumping ship. I think my prediction was midterms a while ago, because after midterms, and that's it, that, you know, Trump's not relevant anymore, and people are going to try to fill that void. I don't know if Marjorie is trying to stake that position out earlier than others. She has, in my opinion, a lot of political capital, and maybe she could do it. So when I view, like, I get very annoyed because sometimes I feel like people on the center left, the far left, I've written all these people off, whatever, but it's far left people are crazy. But some people even on the center left look at what Marjorie's saying and they're like, oh my gosh, she's actually coming around. She's being reasonable. It's like, no, she's vying for political power and she's trying to stake out an independent position from Trump. And that's why she's pointing out the bad things he's doing, not because she has some principled position on anything. If Trump were to take her back under her wing and they were cool, she would go back to everything immediately again, you know? Yeah.
She didn't seem to have a problem with Mike Pence getting the death threat. She didn't seem to have a problem with all these people on the right that didn't agree with Trump. And they did the same thing to them as they're doing to Marjorie now. So I couldn't agree with you more. I don't feel bad for Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think she's a phony. And all of a sudden now she wants to play victim. Well, guess what? I think it's too late. Last question I wanted to ask you, Destiny, is that, you know, as you become more and more popular and you're a household name now, of course, you get more attacks from trolls, even death threats, and people that want to talk about your personal relationships in the past. I mean, I'm not at your level, surely, with the following that you have. But, you know, as I've become a little bit more popular, I've started to have to deal with nonsense like that, too. The things that people say about me. I'm wondering how you deal with that personally, like in your personal time. Does that bother you at all? Do you just ignore it when people are talking about your family or past relationships, really personal stuff that I'm sure a lot of it is untrue? How do you deal with that personally? Do you let it get to you? How do you deal with that?
My goal is set to make such a splash interpersonally that someday I end up in some of these Substacks or blogs. So, you know, working my way there. I don't know if you saw that one recently about the congressman of the Olivia, whatever. So, you know, hey, make a good story, make it interesting to read. I want to have a fun autobiography at some point, or biography, I get assassinated. So fuck it. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. By the way, I really enjoyed that debate you did, the abortion debate you did in California. I think I was second up to bat. If you weren't able to do it, I was going to do it. But I thought you did a wonderful job. And it seemed like it was a really good conversation. Respectful, right?
Yeah, a little short, I think. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you did a really good job there. All right. Well, I'll let you get back to it, Destiny. Always appreciate what you do. And I certainly always appreciate it when you take the time to join me on the show. We'll see you in Phoenix, my friend, right?
Yeah, I'll see you there.
All right. See you there, Destiny. Thanks again for the time, man. Appreciate you.
Bye.
There you go, everybody. Destiny. Also, by the way, his name is Steven. We can call him Steven, but I like to call him Destiny. Yeah, he's extremely popular. I mean, he's been very popular for a very long time. I would say he's probably one of